Welcome back to another episode of the Event Buzz podcast. We are finally starting to see the event world transition back to in-person experiences. Slowly, but I think one industry everyone is particularly excited about attending again is sports, which is what we will be talking about today. This episode's guest currently serves as the Director of Operations for Millwood Public Schools, Shannon Hayes, or better known as Coach Hayes. For the past 20 years, he has been employed by Millwood Public Schools with former job titles of teacher, coach, technology, and athletic director, with experience in scheduling events, game management, and daily operations. I'm sure we will have a lot to talk about with advice for other professionals in similar positions. Hi, welcome to our podcast. We are so excited to have you and talk to you today. How are you doing this morning?
And well, Savannah, I'm doing really well. It's hump day, they say, you know. So
yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah, so I'm, been out of the office the last day. I went water rafting with my youth.
Nice.
So, and then I kept up the rear, and another friend of mine, we bought fishing poles. And so we fished down the river.
It's
rafted. So he caught seven, I caught none. So, but, you know, it was... beautiful time. So
that's pretty impressive. That's fun. I've actually never been raft. Did you say you went water rafting or you just went rafting?
Water rafting.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's on my list. Something I have to do. Sounds fun.
It is. You stick one leg in the water, you got a pole, you throw it out, you know, you just kind of pull in. And, you know, we caught fish, but we just threw them back. You know, it wasn't really about keeping them, but it just was about just relaxing and enjoying the scenery.
That sounds amazing. Well, let's just jump right in. I did a brief intro for you so the listeners know more about your background. But if you wanted to tell us a little bit more about how you got your start, or maybe if you played any sports in school, or just more about you.
Well, you know, it's funny because, I've been successful here at Millwood for 20 years. I was a coach for about 16 to 17 years of that. Now, you know, I just transitioned into AD, and actually I'm the director of operations. So I pretty much just manage the entire district and try to keep things function. But, you know, as an athletic director, you touch every single asset. You know, I mean, you are, you're a principal sometimes when you got to deal with kids. You deal with transportation, food, facilities. So it wasn't that challenging of a transition for that, but I'm still have my duties as athletic director. But, I played soccer when I was in school. That was kind of my love. And a lot of the kids was like, oh, you play soccer. Oh, you know, you didn't play soccer. So, you know, I said, well, that's fine. And then we brought soccer in about 4 years ago with our girls program. And so he's like, are you going to coach? I said, no, I'm not coaching soccer. I've done enough of my coaching. But yeah, I have just been here at Millwood, the only school I've ever been at. So in my 20 years, I didn't start out teaching, but I did the alternative certification and got into it because I just really enjoyed being around kids. Was in youth ministry in my church for many years, and wanted to have my career be something that I really enjoyed doing and make a difference. And so that's kind of really been my motto, is just to change one life one kid at a time, you know. Yeah. And if I go home at the end of the day, or a kid comes back, or even 10 years later, you go somewhere, hey, Coach Hayes, I'm like, okay, that's got to be one of my kids. I mean, that is, to me, is most fulfilling. And so, just kind of been here just working, touching all aspects. I try to help academic wise any way I can push it. I like to make sports kind of like a point of entry or a caveat to kids, dangle above their heads to say, hey, you want this, you got to kind of get your grades up, you know. And our motto is, it's cool to be a Falcon. And so, I try to make it cool. You know, when you come to one of our events, it's like you're at a concert somewhat / sporting event. I mean, the music is up. I mean, the band is going. Kids are dressed from toe to toe. I mean, we have some great sponsors. And so it's a family environment. When I took it over, we had metal detectors and wands and other things. And I just felt like, man, that's just not, you know, appealing to people no. attractive. And so I had to change the culture. So, so that was definitely something. And I know that was kind of one of the questions that you asked me about, you know, what would be something to share with a new AD is that, you know, you have to change the culture and you got to put in a culture that fits the needs of your kids. And that may change every now and then, you know. So you just can't put in policies and procedures at the beginning and anticipate them to be what will work for 20 years, you know. Happen. So you got to kind of be available for that.
And like you said, soccer, I played that for like 15 years. So it's close to my heart too. I definitely miss it. I grew up with sports. So I totally get everything you're talking about. And like you said, changing the environment and adapting, it's going to change. That could be applied to like any business. Like you can't just set in stone policies. You got to be flexible. It's going to change with your environment and you know what's going on around you. And I wanted to ask, transitioning back, going back, because, you know, we were all out of school for a while and I don't know what even sports were doing for you guys, for everyone. How was it like coming back to in person?
You know, I was talking with my football coach the other day and we were just excited about the opportunity to reconvene all of our summer workouts. He said, man, and we just opened up a new indoor sports facility here on campus. And so we had probably close to about between middle school and high school, I say almost probably 50 kids in here. And so it was just, it was awesome to not have to take temperatures, not have to make sure everybody has masks on, making sure that, you know, everybody is staying 6 foot apart. And I mean, so it was just glad to kind of have things, you know, on that perspective back to more of a comfortable setting. So, so he's been excited about it. I'm happy about it. You know, I mean, and so, I mean, we make it optional. and especially if, you know, if kids, or, you know, parents, you know, are not vaccinated, you know, we recommend that you do continue to wear a mask. But we are, matter of fact, working with our community health department here local to basically get all of my athletes vaccinated so that we can definitely be able to have it in an environment where it doesn't shut down or we have to make changes in our athletic program like we did last year. I mean, it's just, from week to week, we just didn't know if we were going to play. You had no clue. I mean, you would think everything was online and then you turn around and you get a call from another team. We've been quarantined. When our kids got up, you know, or, you know, so it just was always up in the air. So so we're trying to put in every safeguard we can to ensure that we don't have any interruptions in our season.
Yeah. Yeah. I noticed on your website that you guys had a whole PDF for like COVID safety protocols. Are you still enforcing those or what are you guys currently doing for sporting events?
We are not. We're going to, unless my board tells me otherwise or the health department, you know, tells us some things, we are going to go back to fully allowing people come in and, you know, just give them their opportunity to be a part of. Now, we also done some more renovations for our stadium. So we're a lot more, we have a bowl effect here. So so basically you can stand completely all the way around anywhere you want to. So we have bleachers in the middle, but there's an area where you can stand or put a chair or whatever so that if you feel that you don't want to be in the crowd, you'll have plenty of space. So what we've doing is just trying to make it conducive to everybody. So, you know, like I say, doing streaming, we'll still have that in place. But if they want to physically be here, we'll have multiple exits and entrances. And then we have places spaced out. And we still have like little sanitational stations. Those will still be in place. And once again, just kind of let people know, hey, if you haven't been vaccinated, we encourage you to wear a mask. If you have, then you're more than welcome to do what you want to do, you know.
Nice. And so I know from talking to other schools, they're relaxing like you guys are on their policies, but they're still doing for like registration or when people come to the event, they're kind of making it like a contactless approach. So Are you guys doing more of like digital ticketing now or?
Yes. Yes. That's the only way we're doing.
Okay.
I mean, that is probably one of the best things that COVID did for us. You know, because in my department, I have a few ladies that takes care of a lot of the transition of the money and different things like that. And it just, you know, you got to find workers, I mean, to work your ticket booths.
Yeah.
And, you know, and so it's like not having to have those costs and not having to get people to do that. Everybody now can go online. We can we can prepare things. So like if things start spiking back up, you know, we can then put limits on it as to how many tickets that we will sell. But I mean, we don't have to deal with money at all, period. Even having in the middle of a game and you get a call, hey, we need change, we're out of ones.
Yeah.
You know, I'm even going pretty much contactless to even my concession stands. So, you know, to where basically everything will be by credit card and as much as possible and try to negate dealing with the exchange of money.
Yeah.
But, you know, they call them protocols, but I think they're better business practices.
Yeah.
That will kind of help to kind of make things so you don't have to worry about counting money. You don't have to worry about somebody jumping in the parking lot, taking them, and you got to go deposit their money. You don't have to go get startup money. I mean, you don't have to keep change. I mean, it's just, there's so many of those things that you just don't have to deal with anymore. And then all you really do is just pull it up and you scan it. And so, I mean, it's so easy to put the app on your phone and people walk up with their phone and you scan them and you check them in. You can know how many people's there. And then, like I say, it keeps a list of people that you can communicate with and be able to send out information of upcoming events and things that may be going on. So I think it's a great, great component.
And what about people that are a little bit more traditional? Have you ran into problems with that? Or, you know, when they come to the event and they're like, I didn't know you could pay online. I have cash.
We dealt with that probably the first game. One was a cash, but what a lot of was about the, you know, because each coach in the state, if they're a member of our association, gets a pass to get into all the games, you know, throughout the state. And so, and we honor those passes. So what we try to do is, you know, like, and we've had some issues with even like college coaches who wants to come in to recruit. So I always tell my coaches, you have to let them know, hey, they just can't just show up. I mean, they got to let us know they're coming. We'll put their name on a list because last year I had to be accountable for every single person that was on this in this facility or either on the outdoors. So we wanted to know if you were coming and we would put your ticket aside. But you just couldn't show up and just pop in because it like I say, and I explained to him, I said, look, it's about being able to deal with tracing. I mean, we want to be able to inform everybody. Let's say we had a breakout and something occurred. We want to be able to know who all was there, contact those people and let them know, hey, we had a situation. Just wanted to let you know. It's easier than trying to guess and not having that information. So everything is pretty much has to be online. We have one or two. And then if we have available spaces, we will. You know, if grandma comes in here and she barely got a flip phone and she come and see her grandbaby play, we're going to take her little $7 or $8 or whatever. And then we'll put a ticket in, you know, go online and we have that capability as well as when they're checking in to be able to insert a ticket and you know, and check her in. So, I mean, so yeah, we still have that capability, but for anybody, if they walk up and they want to be in the game and we still have availability, we had a QR code and they would just scan that QR code, pop up on their phone, and then bam, they get their ticket and they're ready to go. So it's we got a lot of positives about it last year. Even the governor, his team was kind of impressed because his daughter played in a tournament we had here last year in basketball and they were very impressed with our setup. Because they were like, well, it's the governor. I said, well, I don't care if the president of the United States, you still got to put a ticket in.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, we got to know you're here, you know. That's like, well, appreciate that. Yeah. So, yeah. So, you know, you can, you know, it's okay. Well, thank you. But yeah, so it was a good thing. It was just really, really simple. And yeah. A lot of people just, you know, bought into it. I mean, and I'm telling you, had it not been for Purple Pass, I think that would have been one of the things that we may not have had fall sports last year, because I had to present before my board a plan, you know, like the PDF that you saw online. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I had to shut down all my middle school programs. I had to shut down all my JV program, simply have nothing but varsity. I had to show I could only have a traveling squad, had brought in more transportation so we could spread more kids out and everybody.
That's so much stuff.
Yeah. And so, and when I shared with them, I said, and this is another thing that we can do with Purple Pass, yeah. contact and all that. So, mm-hmm. I mean, it was one of those huge things. And then, mm-hmm. and then people started calling me from different, you know, different schools asking me about it, you know, because they're like, man, my parents really like that. Or they would call me and say, hey, give me a list of your administration team so I can put them on our admit list. And then that way they just come scan and then walk on in and don't have to worry about anything. So,
yeah.
He's like, man, that is really cool. I said, yeah. Because, you know, a lot of times you have to wear a badge or something, or people may know you, they don't know you. I said, well, we're not even going to get into that. So just send me your list of people. We'll get them set up. So they felt like they were VIP, you know?
I know, right? That's funny. It's so interesting talking to people in your position or in schools specifically, because I really just don't think about everything that goes into it. Like you said, more buses to spread them out, just like little details like that. You don't think about everything you guys had to do during this time just to make simple things work during COVID. Like, I just mad respect to all of you guys. You made it work and you got through it. But just talking to everyone blows my mind. Every little detail they have to, you know, make sure it's working.
And it made it more exhausting, because when people get COVID, then you have less staff. So you still have the responsibilities, but you don't have the staff if someone gets COVID. I mean, you know, it's like, there was like, I think a week or so, I was without my entire staff. Wow. And I was doing it all by myself. I mean, I even had to run the district. My superintendent got COVID.
Oh, okay. That's fun.
So, yeah. So it was myself and my payroll clerk to come in to make sure that you know, our employees would get paid, making sure that we could continue what's going on. So it was just basically her and I running the entire district for about 2 weeks by ourselves.
Yeah.
So I mean, that puts a lot more on you. It puts a lot more on you. So, you know, and you don't think about that, because you think, well, yeah, you were in COVID. Yeah, you had other things you had to do. But then when you don't have your resources and your people, that makes it even more of a challenge.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that's a great transition into my next question, because putting aside COVID, like, let's pretend you weren't dealing with that, or now you're not dealing with that. You know, for people in your position, you're constantly wearing multiple hats. Like you said, you're doing meetings, you're scheduling, you're controlling the district. Do you have tips for like management advice or advice for making the most out of your time in this position for other people that are right there with you?
To me, I know a lot of my older, more seasoned athletic directors are sometimes a little bit hesitant to technology. But technology is what keeps me organized. You have to keep a planner. One of the things, like say, on my calendar, I have a Google calendar and I have it open to my staff and to my coaches, so that they are aware of what's going on in my life. And knowing that a lot of times that there's things that you know, I can't always have them stop by and, hey, what you doing? You know, and check in or pop in. I mean, you got to be more organized with your time, because you look up and you had a conversation with one of your coaches and y'all been reminiscing for the last hour. And now guess what? You still got an hour of work you got to take care of. So you got to be able to, there was this time management class I took when I was doing my master's, and it talked about the red, I think the greens and the yellows. And it just talked about certain things that were priority, certain things that were not so much. And then things that you really need to just kind of not waste a lot of your time at. And so, no, it's not that you don't want to hear and have conversation relationships, but it's like you have to kind of put time limits on things. You got to be able to kind of know who you can talk to when you can. You got to be able to to empower your people, to let them be able and trust them to do things, because you can't be the go-to person for every single thing that goes on. Mm-hmm. You have to entrust people to do that. And so that's been my challenge for over the years, is because before I got a staff, it was me doing everything by myself. And so, I mean, I was going through forms and all this stuff. And so they started coming out with electronic forms where you could be able to do everything online and monitor it better and get kids cleared and go through their information and be flagged when certain things happen. That was huge. And having a good team around you of individuals that you can either equip or you know has the skills to do things. So putting those things in place can definitely make your organization run a lot better, and try to help keep a balance between your home life and your work. Because, you know, I can probably tell you on one hand, the last time I've actually done something on Friday night that was not dealing with sports on my school. Yeah. I mean, you know, because Friday and Tuesday nights usually are my primary nights where, you know, I've got basketball, football games, something going on, and sometimes almost every day of the week. But, you know, so you want to be able to kind of have some people that you can kind of empower, because it to me, I look at athletic directors like the preachers. Everybody wants the preacher at every little event that happens at the church. And I don't believe that the preacher is going to elevate it or make everything happen the way it needs to, just like an AD. I mean, you know, people would be like, well, I didn't see you at the game. I said, well, no, I didn't assign myself to that game. I assigned my assistant to that game. You know, I mean, so why you wasn't there? I have to be at every single event that goes on. There's just no way I can do it. You know?
No.
So, yeah. So you just got to kind of duplicate yourself, organize yourself really well to where you can kind of be effective in the areas you can, and then empower those who could be effective for you in the areas that you really don't need to kind of be so engaged into.
Yeah, that's interesting. I was talking to another promoter kind of about this, about how, you know, planners or people that are in charge of events can take on multiple hats, when really you have people all around you. You can take on volunteers, staff, that you can kind of give them different jobs to help you out. But it's so, I don't know why people really don't like to put trust in others, or it's hard to put trust in others to do those different jobs when you just think, I can do it all myself, or I can do it better, or I can just get it done. But really, we really need to just be accepting of others and inclusive, and just know that we have a whole team of people helping us. Not be afraid to give out those roles. It's less on you.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Yeah. I had one of my coaches I empowered, and we put a sound system in our entire district and all our gyms and everywhere. And so I went and handed him this packet of all these different quotes and stuff. I said, man, I need you to take care of this. He's like, okay, all right. So he started coming back to me almost every day. And I said, Nick, I don't need you to come back to me every day. I trust you. just get it done. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, cool. Awesome. All right. So he's like, well, I guess he is. I said, yeah, I got to let go. You know? Like,
yeah. That's awesome.
Go with it, you know? And so he did a really good job. He did a really good job. Nice. Proud of him. So, yeah. So that just kind of, you know, and then he was so funny. He was talking to my football coach. He's like, man, I can't believe all this that I have to do. I can't believe he was doing all this himself. He said, well, welcome to leadership. You know, welcome to the, you know, I mean, and that's the thing. I think I always want my coaches. I know one day they're not going to always be with me, you know, and I always tell them, I'm like, hey, have you got any job interviews or any, you know, anybody inquiring about you? Like, they looked at me at first crazy, like, well, can we tell you that? I'm like, yeah. I'm like, yeah, if you have opportunities, I mean, if we're successful here, you should be getting them. And if you're not, then apparently we're not doing something right. So, you know, so I want to give them every tool I know and hope that one day they can, you know, continue to grow in their profession.
Yeah. And I think that's the quality of a great leader, you know, someone that's not holding their team back. They want to see them grow, and they are being realistic about the future, that they're not going to always be there. They want to see them do the best they can while they're with them. So I like that. I did want to jump back before I forget. Because I know you mentioned that you were doing the live streams for the football games. And I know that's been really popular now that we're doing more in-person events. People are doing hybrids. So they're still streaming it. What do you think about the streams? Do you think it's a good idea?
Oh, I think it's an excellent idea. And so this year, I'm going to target a lot of my alumni that across the country to basically be able to still be a part of it, because we're trying to have a sports alumni association where they will be able to donate money every year so that we can be able to continue to grow our program. Mm-hmm. And so I think by allowing them to have free access to being able to watch their former high school, I think is an awesome accomplishment, or just something that kind of makes things more of a professional level. I mean, it just, being on TV used to be, man, you're on TV. I mean, now it's like, people don't have that many opportunities, or you don't see it a lot. Now it's YouTube. But I mean, live streaming and having that capability of them to be able to watch and be a part of it and participate, I think it builds your support with your community and your alumni, and as well as just builds your brand that you're more than just in person, that you can become more than just a local type of industry or organization, but you can be a global type of organization. Mm-hmm. Because my son is currently deployed in overseas. And so, sometimes he got to watch his sister's graduation. He was one of my track kids. And so mm-hmm. he got to watch state because even though the time's different, I mean, he's like 9 hours ahead of us.
Yeah.
But because of that, it still keeps people connected. Mm-hmm. And so I always want people to feel that they have opportunities. Even my nephew, he passed away 2 years ago to cancer, but he was able to watch my son, who's deployed now, watch his graduation from his hospital bed. And so those are just things that to mm-hmm. me are important. Signing day, we had a parent that actually got COVID and couldn't come to the signing day. So
we streamed that. That's so cool.
And we streamed it so that she could be able to watch it. She's crying, but she was there. And so it was awesome to kind of have that opportunity to still allow you to be a part of it.
I think it just like puts you guys up on another level too, compared to other people that don't stream. It's just it's so professional to be like, yeah, you can watch our stream, Yeah, we're live streaming it. Here's a link. I just think it's cool. And you guys use YouTube to do that?
Well, we were. Now we've transitioned to a company called Squirtle.
Oh, okay.
Squirtle does it now for us. And they have their own network and channels. Because like ours is like millwood.tv, I mean,
yeah.
And what it does is the way it's set up is like, because when you're with YouTube or even Facebook, you ever notice that it starts to fade or mm-hmm. sometimes loses because you've got everybody. So you're streaming. So you're stretching out your broadband and you're not getting a good, strong connection versus their network. It's on its own privately. So, and right now I think they have like 72 schools that are in the state of Oklahoma. And so it's like I can go to a town. All I need is a bar, he said. You don't need two or three bars. He said, just one bar. He says, I guarantee you, you'll have it just as good of a quality if you had 17 bars.
It
would make a difference in it. And so I'm liking that better because, we would have some issues every now and then with it. But and then we were with the NFHS, and we're no longer going to be a part of that organization. So we had to transition to find something that we would respect and that we were proud to want to support.
Okay. I will definitely link that in the show notes so people can learn more information about that if they're interested, because I've never heard of that. Every time I ask people this question, it's always like a different software. There's so many. It's crazy. I'm like, oh, that's something else. I will ask you my last question because I know that your time is valuable, so I don't want to keep you on too long. And my last question is just something I'm just curious about, and maybe something I can bring back to my team so we we ourselves can learn and grow and kind of help out more schools, is if there's any features when it comes to ticketing or event management platforms that you've maybe been like, oh, this would be nice to have, or, you know, something that could benefit schools that you haven't seen much of when it comes to
a one-stop shop type of ticketing service. So, mm-hmm. You know, we're basically, like right now, we do a lot of apparel. And so what we now do is that we incorporate it into our ticket sales. So when someone goes to the site and they click on it and they start to purchase a ticket, before they close out, they scroll down and they see all of our apparel as well. So they can pick apparel as well if they wanted to. So it kind of makes it then when they come to the game, they can get their apparel along with their ticket. So it kind of like having that incorporated something else that we're bringing online with our contactless, with even with purchasing stuff, is that we're getting with a company where we can give Millwood bucks. And so if parents want to be able to not give kids cash,
yeah,
kind of be able to allow them to have a car where they can load money on it or whatever, and the kid can come to the game and buy something from the concession stand, or if there's something that they see in the mm-hmm. in the school store they want to buy, or dress out day, you know, they can be able to use those Millwood bucks on that credit card or that little card we give them, like a gift card, and mm-hmm. they just swipe it, and then when it's empty, they can reload it for more, you know, and that way have that available to where, because I mean, we're in more of a world where kids are using more of their phones and everything is becoming more electronic in terms of, you know, purchasing. Because, you know, my wife and I, we have this ritual where we go to our local flea market Saturday mornings, and it's really a time for just to kind of walk around, get some little exercise here and there. But, you know, and we take like $100. You know, and so this past Saturday, we exceeded that $100, but we didn't have the money. So we went to a couple of vendors and we was like, you got a Cash App? You know, and the guy said, yeah, we got a Cash App. All right. So we were able to spend over $100 because, you know, Cash App, because mm-hmm. of those other type of entities. So I, like I say, I think, you know, making it to where it's more, well, in other words, it's a business ideal. If you want people to spend more money, you got to make things more easy for them to get to it.
Yeah.
So that's kind of like when you look at a ticket sale, you know, what else can I get in that ticket sale, which will not only thrive and want to go look at a ticket, but what else? Ooh, well, you know, last time I went to the game, they had this for sale. Let me pull that up and see if they still got that for sale, mm-hmm. you know, and I can purchase that. And sometimes just purchase items and not even have to purchase a ticket. You know, I mean, just having that engaged into like an app where they can pull up that app and be able to check the local games and different things and click on it and have that information. I mean, you know, I think that's kind of the way of going, is just going more to a electronic type of payment style, you know, mm-hmm. in everything you do and make, you know, multiple. I mean, like Walmart, you know, Walmart used to be one, now it's super centers. Now you can get groceries, you can get
literally everything.
Everything you want at one location.
Yeah, I love Walmart.
Yeah, I mean, after you get frustrated and you get in the parking lot and after you at least find a place to check out. But before that, then, you know, hey, you got everything you need.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point. So be more like Walmart. I like that. Thank you so much. This was great, great talking to you. I learned a lot and I think it's going to help out a lot of our listeners as well. So yeah, if there's anything else you wanted to say, but if that's it, that's it.
I just think that's pretty much the future of how technology is more being engaged into it. And, you know, I think that, you know, having a lot of times we're reluctant to want to do things as ADs because it's more of a responsibility on us. So we won't be so quick to click on a vendor and inquire about the information because we figure that's one more thing on our plate.
Yep.
We like to say, if you have people around you, just empower those individuals and that they will be able to help you to where you're not a part of it, because every bit helps our kids. And that's kind of what I look at. You know, I want my children, I want these kids to have a good experience when they're in high school. I want them to be able to come back and be able to say, man, I remember when Coach Hayes them did this for us. I, man, they treat us like this. They did this for us, you know. I mean, so those are like I say, making a difference one kid at a time, you know. And so in every aspect of their lives, you know. So we want them to be socially, mentally, spiritually, physically able to represent their community. And that's pretty much what we try to do.